Well, after the Feast of Trumpets, you knew it had to be at Crane, right? Well, happy Sabbath, y'all. Hope everyone is doing wonderful. I'd like to welcome any guests and visitors we have here with us as well. Happy to have you here. Well, brethren, we are in the midst of God's Fall Holy Day Festival season. It's a time that we look forward to every year. Such a wonderful time because it represents the culmination of God's plan. Salvation for all of mankind. In less than 2 weeks, we'll be observing the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day, whether it's here or in various sites around the globe. So with that in mind, I have a very important question that I want to ask you. Are you prepared to rejoice? Are you prepared to rejoice? Turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23. We'll look at the command that God gave to ancient Israel, the children of Israel, the instructions to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and of course, that command is relevant for us today. We'll start in verse 39, Leviticus chapter 23, starting in verse 39. It says, "Also on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest, and on the eighth day a Sabbath rest. You shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, the boughs of leafy trees, and the willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the seventh month." So there it is, the command to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day. But there's also the command there to rejoice during the Feast of Tabernacles. Not just observe it, but rejoice. Verse 40 is very clear and very direct when it reads, "You shall rejoice before the Lord your God." Not a suggestion, it's a command from God that you shall rejoice. So I'll ask the question again, are you prepared to rejoice? Now, I think I probably know the answer from everyone sitting in here, but just in case you're on the fence and you haven't decided whether or not you're going to rejoice at the feast, let me give you a few things, three quick things that we all have to rejoice in at the Feast of Tabernacles. So number one, rejoice in God's word. Number one is rejoice in God's word. This is perhaps the most obvious thing that we have to rejoice in. We have the opportunity to receive God's word presented through his messengers daily for 8 days. And so, counting double services on the holy days, it comes to 10 services in 8 days. That's 2.5 months worth of services in 8 days. No shortage of God's word. Let's go to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. Through the inspiration of God, those speakers have prepared 18 messages for you. And that's not even counting the Bible studies or other such interactions. Once again, the word of God will be plenty at the feast this year. Psalm 119, we'll read verse 162. Psalm 119, 162 says, "I rejoice at your word as one who finds great treasure." The writer of this psalm rejoices in God's word as one who finds great treasure. So we see that obvious comparison of God's word to treasure. Look back at verse 103. Look back at verse 103. He said, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." God's words to be cherished, to be treasured, to be prized. And that's for all of us, a treasure for all of us. But you know, in this modern world, we have thousands of messages that we have access to at our fingertips. If you look on the UCG website, the sermon website, and I did this a few days ago, just to see the number of messages there. There are over 36,000 messages that you can get a hold of. It's a gluttony of messages, a gluttony of riches that we have. But it's the same at the feast because it's 2.5 months worth of messages compacted into 8 days. With that in mind, are we truly appreciative for God's word that he has prepared for us through his messengers? Are we ready to take it all in? Are we prepared to rejoice in his word? Number two, rejoice in the brethren. Number two, rejoice in the brethren. This world that we live in, just look at the news, it is Satan's world. It's a world that doesn't know God. It's a world that we just really don't fit into, nor should we want to fit into it. Because it's a world that hates us because we're different, because we follow God. Truthfully, we follow God. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. There's just not a whole lot of us in this world. We know that. We're few. We've kind of gotten used to that by now. That's why it's so important that we come together, that we love one another, that we show that compassion, that we are a family. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And in these holy days, we see the day approaching. But we as first fruits are very few in number. And that's why it's so important that we come together, that we encourage, that we love one another. Because there's not a lot of people in this world that have had their eyes opened by God. There's not a lot of people that have true hope in that eternal life that God promises. There's not a lot of people that truly do rejoice in the Lord. But when we have the opportunity to come together at the feast and to rejoice with one another, that is a tremendous blessing. Because we have so many people out there who gone through the same things as we have, and we get to come together with them and share and encourage and comfort. And there's just something so extra special about coming together with brethren, with the like-minded on God's holy days, especially. It's an opportunity to truly rejoice as one. So are we ready to rejoice with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we prepared to rejoice in the brethren? Let's go to number three, third one. Rejoice in second tithe. Rejoice in second tithe. And I know that might sound a little funny because we're talking about a physical thing. Second tithe, it's just money. Second tithe is for rejoicing. It's what God's word says. Let's go ahead and read that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 14. Deuteronomy chapter 14. We'll read a familiar set of scriptures that we read often this time of year as we look towards the fall holy days. Deuteronomy 14, we'll start in verse 22. These verses talk about the tithing principles. But we'll notice a similar command to rejoice. To rejoice. Deuteronomy 14, starting at verse 22, says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds, your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you're not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place where the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat, therefore, before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. God requires us to save that 10% of our yearly income, and then he gives it to us, and then he instructs us to use it on his holy days. And it's 10% of our income in such a short amount of time that he says, I want you to use it, but I want you to use it to your heart's desire. Why? So that you and your household may rejoice before him. He gives you his money to rejoice. I mean, how wonderful is that? Everything that we have belongs to him. Everything. But yet he gives us this portion, 10% of that income, to rejoice before him, with our family. Are we ready for that? Are we ready? Are we prepared to rejoice in that second tithe? You know, this world around us is not ideal. It's Satan's world, and there's so many evils. There's so many wrongs that just abound. But when we observe the Feast of Tabernacles and the eighth day, we get just that small taste of that world to come. So let's make sure we are prepared to rejoice. God commands it.